This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praise be unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Choices, salutations, and peace be upon our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us, all of us in this ummah, throughout the world in these difficult times. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant in this waqt of Jumu'ah, our du'as be answered, our sins be forgiven, and guide us insha'Allah that next week be better than the week that we have seen. Ameen. We continue with our discussion which we started last week on understanding Shi'ism. And we said that this is a very controversial topic, one of the most controversial topics that we can discuss. And as I said, I will introduce this over and over, and I'll repeat this over and over, that this topic is not meant to further cause hatred and animosity. We see in so many countries violence, killing, that people are dying simply because they are Shi'i or they Sunni. And subhanallah, this is not what we discussed. This is not how, as Muslims, is our deen is all about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given us that we are one ummah and we are united on the same Quran, the same Nabi. Anyone who says La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, whatever else he believes, that's between him and Allah. It's not for you and for me to say this man is kafir or this man is a disbeliever and his blood becomes halal. People ask, how can one group bomb a masjid of another group? How can one group bomb a hospital or a school? It begins by saying that this group is kafir. Because they are kafir, they are murtad, their blood becomes halal. And this, as we said last week, is the methodology of the Khawarij. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke only about one sect, a group that will appear, that will be extreme in their Islam, that they will make salah more, it will appear as though it has more taqwa than the salah of even the Sahaba, and they will fast more extremely than the Sahaba, but that they will not understand the Quran, and that they will kill the Muslimin. And these are the people that killed the Sahaba, and the reason why we have a split between Sunni and Shia was because of them. So we said this, but this is a topic which is vital for us to understand. When our children ask us, what is the difference between a Sunni and a Shi'i? And your children are going to university. They're going to meet people of different beliefs. We can't hide our head in the sand. We need to know what these differences are. So this discussion is to enlighten and for us to understand, to know what is my belief and what is their belief. Why do we accept our belief as correct? And why do we not accept their belief as correct? And how do we interact? Can we still unite on certain things? Yes, there is room for uniting. There's room not only to exist together peacefully, but to work together. That obviously if we live peacefully with a non-Muslim that doesn't even accept the Quran, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we live side by side with them peacefully. What about someone who is closer in terms of the deen? And also, as we said, we should not feel shy of speaking about our beliefs. This is Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. 90% of the Ummah is Sunni, as we would say. And this is the belief that has always been the doctrine of Islam. This is what South Africa has been for the last 300 years. Shi'ism is a new phenomenon in our community. Therefore, they openly preach and spread their ideology. We have a right to know what is our ideology and what is the response. So we said that the most common, there are many sects within Shi'ism. And the most common sect, or the largest sect within Shi'ism, is what we call the Ithna Ashariya Imamiya. Imamiya Ithna Ashariya. The Imami Shia that believes in 12 Imams. This is the doctrine of the Shia in Iran and Iraq. The Shia we see, you know, I said 90% of the Shia follow this belief or this sect of Shi'ism. And therefore we'll discuss their beliefs, how it agrees or how it does not conform with Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We spoke and we won't talk too much on this, the history of Shi'ism, how did it begin? It began between a political fight between the Shia, the supporters of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, and the supporters of Banu Umayyah. Eventually the Umayyads won, and this is history. We cannot change it. Whether you like it or not, the Umayyads, they won. And they ruled the Ummah for over 100 years, and within their rule, Spain was conquered. They were good leaders, they were bad leaders, like Yazid, bad, and they were good, great Khulafa, but they made it a monarchy. And you had this group of supporters called themselves Shia, that they were outside of the political spectrum, they couldn't win politically, so they developed a new ideology, a new theology. And we made the example, tomorrow we find the DA says, look, there's no way we're going to win the election. We can't use normal methods. So let's say that if you want to be a Christian, the Bible says you must vote for us. You use religion to support your political claims, and people do this. It is religion that we see being used for political reasons in Syria, in Iraq, across the world, all this fighting, nothing to do with Islam. Islam doesn't win from this fighting. But you find the guy, he looks like the Maulana, he says, you have to do this because Islam said so. No, he's saying so and using Islam as a tool to get political agenda. This is how Shiism began. That if you support the Khalifa, you're kafir. How can you say that? How can you say I'm kafir for supporting a Khalifa? He said, because this Khalifa is illegitimate. Only the family of the Prophet, they have the right to be the Khalifa. Where do you come up on this? And this is how Shiism developed. So we will discuss, insha'Allah, some of the beliefs of the Shia. We said there are 12 or 9 issues within Shia belief, which we will discuss. And we said the first one, we only began the first one last week, and we will continue and conclude, insha'Allah, with this point. And it's the most important point. As I said, the split between Sunni and Shiism was a political fight. The Sahaba, they fought with one another, and their followers initially fought each other on political grounds. No one said anyone was kafir. Later on, 100 years later, the group that lost out, they changed their view to a religious view and said, you people are kafir. And it began with the caliphate. So we said, this is the first step within Shia theology. And it builds from one to the next. One thing leads to the next. And we said, the first issue that the Shia began with was the issue of the Khalifa. Who should be the Khalifa? Who should rule? When you say Khalifa, Khalifa means a representative or the one who is your representative in your absence. So when Allah says, on the side note, beautiful side note, when Allah says, Inni ja'inu fil ardi khalifa, O angels, I will put on the earth my Khalifa, the one who will represent me on earth. Who's Allah talking about? Mankind. We talk about the Khalifa in political sense. I'm the Khalifa of the king or the Amir. We are the Khulafa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the responsibility we have on the dunya. So the Khalifa is the one who will take the place of the one who is no longer there, meaning the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Khalifatul Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sunni view, what do we say about the Khalifa? We say that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he passed away, he did not explicitly appoint anyone. He didn't say, Abu Bakr, you are the Khalifa. He didn't say, Ali, you are the Khalifa. He didn't say, Umar. Nabi sallallahu left the matter open for his ummah to decide. The Shia say, no, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam definitely appointed a Khalifa explicitly. He made it clear, and the Sahaba knew, unambiguously, he appointed Sayyidina Ali as the Khalifa. They said even the Quran states that. We say that the Khalifa is a political leader. And in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he appointed military leaders, he appointed political leaders. He appointed leaders when he was the overall leader spiritually. And this, we say this is how it was in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We don't have to follow, we have to obey the Khalifa, but he's not our Amir in terms of religion. He doesn't link us to Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is our spiritual leader. His sunnah is our link to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shia say, no, the Khalifa is also appointed by Allah. He has a job, sort of like a Nabi. He cannot commit sin, he cannot make mistakes. He not only gives political guidance, he gives religious guidance. Very important. Because we say, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, as great as you are, you cannot make law in Sharia. You have no right to say what is halal and haram. You can say, per my understanding of the Quran, this is halal and haram. But Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what they say is halal and haram, that's what stands. The Shia say no. The Amir, the Imam, is not only a political leader, he's also a shari'. He can make halal and haram. Allah gives him the divine right to do so. So you see, the position of the Khalifa is a lot more than politics for the Shia. And of course, they would say, the Sahaba, we say Sahaba, they made a choice based on ijtihad. The matter was left open, and they were consulted, and they made a decision according to the best of their ability. The Shia say no, the Sahaba chose someone deliberately, Abu Bakr, that stole the right of Sayyidina Ali against the command of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which is an act of kufr. If they did that, it's an act of kufr. So the Shia say, and this is where we say, we disagree with you, O Shia. The Shia say, on the other hand, believe that the Khalifa, the Caliphate, was usurped, stolen through a well-planned conspiracy in which systematically all the sayings of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which nominated Sayyidina Ali as his successor, were either completely erased or distorted and misinterpreted in order to exclude Sayyidina Ali from his right of caliphate. So they said the Sahaba, the chief Sahabas got together. They said, we know Sayyidina Ali should be the Khalifa. Nabi said so, but he's dead now, so we can do what we want. We will cover up all the hadith, we'll kill whoever we want to kill, and we will take his right. Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman, they did this. This is what the Shia claim. So we say, "Ya Shia, bring us evidence. Bring us evidence for your version of history." And we said they bring evidence from the Quran, which if we look at it, is very flimsy at best. When they say they bring the ayah number 4, surah number 4, ayah 59, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "O you who believe, obey Allah, ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasul, and obey the messenger, and those in authority among you." So we say that Allah says you must obey Allah, and you must obey the Rasul, and you must obey the Amir. So they said, you see, the fact that Allah puts the Amir on the level of Nabi and Allah means the Amir is divinely appointed and he's infallible and he must be obeyed like Allah and the Rasul. You understand their reasoning here? We say, no, read the ayah, complete the ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but if you quarrel about anything between you and the Amir, there's any disagreement, refer it to Allah and His Messenger. Why would Allah say, go back to the Messenger and Allah if you disobeyed with the, you don't agree with the Amir? Meaning the Amir should only be followed when he follows Quran and Sunnah. And this is what we say. We follow Abu Bakr and Umar and any Khalifa so long as he follows Quran and Sunnah. No obedience in disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's nothing here. And even if this was about the Amir, where does it say anything about Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu? Again, we're not anything with Sayyidina Ali. We are Shia of Sayyidina Ali. If he was appointed as the Amir of the Muslimin, alhamdulillah, we are the first to obey. And we take him as the fourth Khalifa. But we say the Quran has not said that. You are reading things in. The next ayah they say, which is ayah number 67, surah 5, surah Ma'idah. They say, Allah says, "Ya, O Nabi, O Rasul, say, announce that which has been revealed to you from your Lord. Make known what Allah has said to you. And if you don't, then, and if you don't convey the message, then you have not conveyed His message. And Allah will protect you from the people. Indeed, Allah does not guide the disbelieving people." So the Shia say, "Yeah, Allah is telling Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there's something that you need to tell the people, and don't be afraid, I will protect you." So they said, ah, you see, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was going to tell the Sahaba that Sayyidina Ali is the Amir, but he was scared of Abu Bakr and Umar, and therefore he kept it silent until Allah revealed this. Subhanallah, it's an insult to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And we say, where does it say anything about Sayyidina Ali? Read the ayah before. The ayah before says, and if only they, the people of the Torah and the Injil, upheld the Torah and the Injil. And you read the ayah after it, Allah says, Ya Ahlul Kitab, O people of the scripture. Who's Allah talking about? Allah's talking about the Jews and the Christians. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, don't be afraid to tell the Jews and the Christians the truth, even if they don't like it. Read the context of the Quran. Nothing about Sayyidina Ali in here. You've taken one ayah, and when people come with any kind of, today so many false ideologies, they will give you, look at this ayah, it says kill them wherever you find them. It says whoever does not rule by the command of Allah, for he's a kafir, all the governments are kafir. Read the context of the ayah, read the tafsir of the ayah, read the hadith. When did this ayah come down? When did Allah say this ayah? It was a response to something. Gives you understanding. You can take, and I'll show you, you can take any ayah in the Quran and you can prove anything. You can even prove salah, and I'll show you, you can use the Quran to prove that salah is wrong. I'll show you inshallah as we get towards during the slide. So these are the ayat the Shia give in support that Sayyidina Ali was the Khalifa, and we say it's very flimsy support. Nothing really in it. Nothing really. And even if we say it is as they say, no mention of Sayyidina Ali to begin with, radiallahu anhu. It's not mentioned anywhere in the Quran, you know, directly or indirectly. What about hadith? And we say once again, if you bring us a clear hadith, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, and we know this to be authentic, that Ali is my successor, then we agree with you Shia 100%. Then we accept that this was the command of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sayyidina Ali should have been his successor. And anyone who disobeyed, acted against the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they did it deliberately, tantamount to kufr. So bring us a hadith. They said, we will bring you a hadith from Sahih Muslim in your own books. And they say it's the event of Ghudayr Khum. I said Ghudayr Khum or Ghadir Khum is called the pond of Khum. So at the pond of Khum, this place called Khum, there was a pond where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave a speech. And the speech is in Sahih Muslim. We agree that the speech happened. It's in that speech. Look at the words. It appoints Sayyidina Ali as the Amir. And we said the Shia, and this is from that they take the day of one of the Eids, like we have Eid al-Adha, Eid al-Fitr, they have Eid Ghudayr, the Eid of Ghudayr Khum, where they celebrate and they say, this is the event when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam appointed Sayyidina Ali as his successor. We say, when did this happen? At Ghudayr Khum. And they will say, even in your books, Sahih Muslim, leave our books, your books, you have this event. So let's read what Sahih Muslim says. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood up and addressed us one day at a well called Khum. Right, so this is in Muslim, in our books, between Makkah and Medina. So this well is between Makkah and Medina. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he praised Allah and he exhorted us and he reminded us Then he said, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I'm leaving among you two very heavy, important things. Two things which are very, very important. The first of which is the Book of Allah. And he urges us, and he urged us, the Sahabi saying, he urged us to adhere to the Book of Allah. And he said, and the second thing is, I urge you with regards to my Ahlul Bayt, the people of my household. I remind you of Allah with regards to the people of my household. And Nabi Sallallahu repeated this three times. I remind you, O Sahaba, how you treat my Ahlul Bayt. And then he continued during this speech, amongst the things it's reported, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he says, verily Ali radiallahu anhu is from me, and I am from him. He is the wali of every believer. To whoever I am, if you take me as your mawla, then Ali is also your mawla. O Allah, love the one who loves Ali, and dislike the one who dislikes Ali. Verily Ali is from me and I am from him, and he is the beloved of every believer after me. All these are not from Shia books, from Sunni books. He said, you see, you have in your own books. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made a speech and he says that Ali is the Mawlana, the Mawla, like I'm the Mawla, isn't this clear? Unequivocal. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam openly took Sayyidina Ali as his successor. We say once again, what brought about the speech? Why did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam come about and sit the Sahaba down at this place between Mecca and Medina? Why were they there in the first place? Why did he give this speech? So as I said, the context gives you the answer. If you look at the ayah, فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ, so woe to the one who makes salah. You take this ayah alone, it means cursed is the one who makes salah. From the Quran. Read the following ayah, أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ, who are heedless of their salah. So you can take any ayah, any hadith, and you look at it alone, and you can draw your own conclusion. You need to look at the context. What is the context? So when did this happen? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was on his journey back from Hajj. Okay? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam performed Hajj, Dhul Hijjah. We know Rabi al-Awwal, which is like 3 months after Dhul Hijjah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away. Okay? So very short period between the death of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Like a month or two before the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away, he gave this speech at Ghudayr Khum. Which also adds to the thing that, look, he's talking about a successor. No, we give this, we acknowledge that. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam performed his Hajj, he's on his way back to Medina. Eventually, he stops the journey, he says, every one of you stop, we'll stop at this well, I need to give a speech. And then he gave the speech that we just mentioned. What is the reason behind the speech? And this is in Shia books as well. This is history which they agree with. Before Hajj, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent an army to Yemen. And Sayyidina Ali was the Amir of that army. And the army was very successful, and they captured a lot of war, booty, and treasure. So the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you go to Yemen, you fight jihad, then when we come for Hajj, now remember, Medina is south, or is north of Mecca. You go to Yemen, and we will go for Hajj, and you meet us at Mecca. So you do your job in Yemen, you don't go back to Medina, you meet us at Mecca. Understand? Alright, so a bit of geography there, I don't know if we can see correctly. Mecca is sort of in between Yemen and Medina. So we'll meet up there for Hajj. So the army went to Yemen and they fought jihad and they were successful. Now they were going to meet up with the rest of the Muslims for Hajj. But they tired, they tattered, their clothes is really bad. So they said, yeah, Ali, we've won, we've taken cap, we know we have booty, we have clothing, we have horses. Let us take from the spoils of war, let's look presentable, and then we can go on Hajj and we can meet the people in a nice way. So Sayyidina Ali said, no. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has a right in the share of the booty and he will choose first before anyone else. The army was very upset about this. He said, but we have a right. And they did have a right in the booty. But Sayyidina Ali said, no, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam must first take his share. We first go to Mecca. But so we look so bad. He said, I don't care. We will first go to Mecca. What made things even a little worse was that Sayyidina Ali, being Ahlul Bayt, he can take from the share of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ahlul Bayt has a share. So he took his share and then he went to Mecca. So the army became very upset. You don't want us to take our share, but you took your share. And he had a right to take his share. He did nothing wrong. Absolutely. Sayyidina Ali was 100% correct in what he did. So Sayyidina Ali left. The army came after him and he saw the army had taken from the booty. He commanded them, take off that clothes and put back your old clothes on. And they obeyed. They were very upset. So they complained to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, look what Ali has done. Ali has done this. He has done that. He has, abused his authority. They complained. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, it's Hajj time. We perform Hajj. Forget about this. Nabi Sallallahu basically brushed them off. Said, Ali is from my family. Don't insult Ali. Ali is from me. Whatever he does, he did according to the Sharia. He is obeying the command of Allah. He did it out of the love of Allah. Remain silent. After Hajj, they continue to moan and groan. Then Nabi Sallallahu got fed up. And he stopped them at this point on the way back from Medina, and that's when he gave the speech. I am from Ali. Ali is from me. Whoever hates Ali hates me. Whoever upsets Ali has upsetted me. Keep quiet with regard to Ali and my ahli, my family. Right. So we see the position of Sayyidina. And then the army kept quiet and they didn't debate anymore. Had this been, this is the context, and this is agreed, this is what happened. Shia and Sunni agree, this is what happened. And we say, had this been an issue of succession, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would have said this on Arafah in front of the entire Muslim Ummah just a week ago when he gave this great speech, his farewell speech. I advise you with this and that. That great farewell speech, he said it here with only a few people. The hundreds of the majority of the people had left already from Hajj. This was just the people of Medina. Why? It didn't make sense. Also, this was a small group of Sahaba who were complaining about Sayyidina Ali. Abu Bakr wasn't there, Umar wasn't there, they weren't part of that army. But they were at the well, and they congratulated Sayyidina Ali. MashaAllah, look what a great speech Nabi has given. For you, you are our Mawla as well. To say that all the Sahaba, and there were 100,000 Sahaba on Hajj, all of them that were present, heard this, and they changed within one day. Nabi passed away. Bilal, who was tortured, was hit to almost to death. That what benefit is it for Bilal to lie and not give Sayyidina Ali his right? Bilal didn't become the Amir. Maybe we can say Abu Bakr, he got to be the Amir, Umar. Leave them aside. Bilal, when he was, all he did his whole life was La ilaha illallah. Now, a few hours after Nabi passed away, he lied to say, no, Sayyidina Ali, you're not the Amir. Of course not, he would not have done that. For what benefit? No benefit. So we say, oh Shia, your understanding of this event does not make sense. Does not make sense with regards to what we know of the Sahaba, what we know about the Quran, where Allah praises them. This is where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi was praising Sayyidina Ali to avoid them cursing Sayyidina Ali, and for Sayyidina Ali to, this is what the context. So this is our explanation with regards to Ghadir Khum. The incident of Saqifa, this is the event that made Sayyidina Abu Bakr the Khalifa. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi passes away 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal after Fajr on a Monday. He passes away. Sayyidina Abu Bakr is outside of Medina, in the outskirts, he's not at the masjid. And then he hears the news and he rushes back to the masjid and he finds, obviously we know the story, catastrophe. Sayyidina Umar is with a sword saying, whoever says Muhammad has died, I'm going to kill him. How dare you say Muhammad has died? Right? The entire Muslim Ummah is shocked. They didn't believe. It never occurred to them that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could pass away. You know, they didn't obviously say he's eternal, but they just never thought of it. So everything was upside down. A few hours after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away, the people of Medina, they had gathered and we had a meeting. So the Shia would say, there was a meeting with Abu Bakr and Umar and the leadership of Medina where they chose a Khalifa. Sayyidina Ali wasn't included and he wasn't included in that meeting. And sort of a conspiracy and a coup d'etat occurred where they all knew Sayyidina Ali should be the Amir, but they had a secret meeting and they took over while Sayyidina Ali is busy washing the body of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's busy taking care of the burial. You talk politics. This is what Abu Bakr did. This is their claim. So we say, let's talk about what occurred. And again, we take from Bukhari what occurred. Long hadith, we can't just read the entire hadith. Basically, what Sayyidina Umar is saying, I'll tell you, he's telling people when he was now he's the Khalifa, 10 years later, he's telling the people, let me tell you what happened on that day. After the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away, the leadership of Medina, they had a meeting. And they felt, you know, you people came from Makkah, you like 300-400 people from Makkah. Medina is, we the majority, we 10,000. We are the army. We made Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam the Amir because he's the Rasul. But now the leader should be from Medina. You the minority, we the majority. This was their meeting they had amongst themselves. And their reasoning was correct. They had good reasoning. So while this meeting was going on, someone came to Abu Bakr and came to Sayyidina Umar and said, the people of Medina are having a meeting and we think you should go and join that discussion. It's the fate of the Muslim Ummah. So Sayyidina Umar said, Abu Bakr, come with. And another Sahabi, Abu Ubaidah Ibn al-Jarrah, you know who he is? One of the 10 promised Jannah. A man who could have so easily been the Khalifa, but he died early on. So these three of the 10 Sahaba, they were the senior Sahaba. He's that Sahabi that pulled the armor out of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's cheek and he lost his tooth. Do you remember in the Battle of Uhud, you know the story? The man, he put it out and he lost his tooth. It's Abu Ubaidah, radiallahu anh. So Abu Ubaidah, Umar and Abu Bakr, radiallahu anh, they go to meet the people of Medina. And the wording is very beautiful. So they come in there and they find the leadership of Medina having a discussion. And Sayyidina Umar, as he is, you know, he listens to what they say. They're saying that we are the majority and we took you people of Makkah in and we should be the leaders. Now after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is our city. Medina is after all our city. You belong in Makkah. You're only here for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and now he's gone. So it should go back to us. And Sayyidina Umar wanted to stand up and he wanted to speak. You know, his normal personality. Sayyidina Abu Bakr grabs him, pulls him down, says, keep quiet. You keep quiet. Let them speak, finish. Someone writes, you would find Abu Bakr was always the smartest man in the room. He knew when to speak. He let the people of Medina speak, finish. And Umar says, I prepared in my mind a speech. I wanted to say a great speech. But I knew not to upset Abu Bakr. The one person I never liked to upset was Abu Bakr. So if he said, keep quiet, I kept quiet. Then Abu Bakr got up. Umar is telling us, he got up. And he gave a speech which was better than the one I wanted to give. And he told the people of Medina, everything you said about your qualities and your character is 100% correct. And more, you are the friends of Allah. You are the Ansar, as Allah describes in the Quran. You took us in and you are the majority. Everything that you said, we cannot deny. But remember, O Ansar, and he pointed to the leader who was going to be the Amir. O Sa'ad, you were also there, I was there, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the leadership of this Ummah, the Amir must come from Quraysh. And Sa'ad said, yes, I was there. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did say that. That you will be the helpers, but Quraysh, from Quraysh, will be its leaders. So then Abu Bakr says, so choose one of these two men. Look what Abu Bakr says, choose Umar or Abu Ubaidah. Choose one of these two men as your Khalifa, and we can all be united behind them. And then another man from the Ansar said, okay, let's have a dual Khalifa, one from the Muhajirin, one from the Ansar. And then they said, yes, no, and there was a bit of a commotion. Then Sayyidina Umar jumped up and he grabbed Abu Bakr's hand. And he said, basically, I cannot be the Amir where Abu Bakr is one of the residents or the citizens under me when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made him the Imam of Salah. If Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave him the right to lead the Salah, then he has the most right. And he grabbed Abu Bakr's hand and he said, I pledge to you, Abu Bakr, you are the Khalifa. And then the rest followed suit. And this is how Abu Bakr became Khalifa. This is the history, the events of Saqifah. Sayyidina Ali, as I said, was not there. Many of the Sahaba were not there. This event occurred sort of sporadically. And they chose Sayyidina Bakr radiallahu anh as the Khalifa. So this is the event of the story. So the Shia will say, look, Abu Bakr and them having secret meetings while Sayyidina Ali is washing the body of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We say, no. This meeting was not convened by Abu Bakr radiallahu anh. The Ansar called the meeting, the people of Medina, and they had a right to call the meeting. There was no force and intimidation. No one took a sword out and said, you have to do this. Sayyidina Bakr gave forward a speech, and the people of Medina, who had the power and the muscle, no one could force them. Abu Bakr couldn't force the people of Medina. Sayyidina Ali couldn't force the people of Medina. They were in charge. They, out of their own, accepted Abu Bakr, and they pledged. Also, when we say who was absent from the meeting, there were two very big candidates who were absent. Sayyidina Ali was absent, and another man, Az-Zubayr. We spoke about Abdullah ibn Zubayr, his father, Az-Zubayr bin Al-Awwam. Also, links to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Who is Az-Zubayr? He's the son-in-law of Abu Bakr. He's married to Abu Bakr's daughter. If Sayyidina Abu Bakr wanted to conspire, he would have brought his son-in-law as well in part of this meeting. It didn't occur like that. Plus, Sayyidina Ali and Az-Zubayr were much 30 years younger than Abu Bakr and Umar and Abu Ubaidah. So this is what occurred at Saqifah. And this is how Sayyidina Bakr became the Khalifa. And we'll talk at towards the end time, inshallah, is there any evidence how Sahaba chose him. The next, you know, so this is make understand how Abu Bakr became the Khalifa. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, of course, he gave a beautiful speech the next day. And the people, all of them came to give their pledge. Even Sayyidina Ali gave his pledge publicly. He took Abu Bakr's hand publicly. We know even the Shia agree with this. He publicly made the pledge and said, I take you as our Khalifa. Even though there were some issues, he said, you didn't consult me. I should have been consulted. I had a say in the matter, but we have no doubt that you are the best man for the job. Right? This is public. This even the Shia agree in their books. They will say this was Taqiyya, but history, we know this occurred. There, another event they will mention is that Sayyidina Bakr radiallahu anh, he had a bit of a dispute with Fatima. When he became the Khalifa, Fatima, daughter of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Abu Bakr had a bit of a dispute. And they say, look at Bukhari. It says, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Fatima is part of me, and whoever angers Fatima angers me. If you upset her, you anger me. And if I'm upset, you upset Allah. And if Allah is upset with you, it's finished with you. Right? So they said, we agree. This hadith is authentic. It's in Bukhari and Muslim. And they will say, is it not true that Fatima was angry with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu for almost 6 months? They say, yes, it's true that she was not happy with Abu Bakr. Why? So the Shia will say, Abu Bakr stole her inheritance. He is now the Khalifa. She came to him and she said, where is my father's inheritance? My father, Rasulullah, passed away. Where's my inheritance? And Abu Bakr said, you have no inheritance and you have nothing. And she was unhappy and she was angry with Abu Bakr and she passed away. So she said, look how Abu Bakr stole her inheritance. Let's read again the hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, our property, meaning the Anbiya, we have no inheritance. Whoever, we don't leave any sadaqah. What we leave is knowledge. The ulama are the inheritors of the Anbiya. We know that hadith. The ulama are the inheritors of the Anbiya. The same hadith we find in the Shia books. They said, yes, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did say that. That we leave no inheritance, what we leave behind is knowledge. So Abu Bakr was right in what he said. Other points to point out, who tells us about the hadith that Abu Bakr and Fatima had a bit of an issue and there was some unhappiness initially? Who narrates the hadith? If you go back to Bukhari, Aisha tells us this. If we wanted to hide this, Aisha wouldn't have said it. Her father is here at stake. She said, my father and Fatima had an issue and she was the one that she didn't wasn't happy about the inheritance and my father said this and that. Also, interesting, if Abu Bakr is denying Fatima her right of inheritance, he's also denying the wives of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam the inheritance. And who's the wife of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Aisha, daughter of Abu Bakr. When Sayyidina Ali became the Khalifa, he didn't take any of that land back and give it to Hassan and Hussein. He was the Khalifa now, because he agreed Sayyidina Abu Bakr was correct in his judgment, and Fatima was upset about this matter. She didn't hear about the hadith, and some Sahaba, not all of them knew everything. And this was correct. As I said, even Shia agree that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this hadith. This hadith is very interesting. We said the hadith where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, whoever upsets Fatima upsets me. When did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say this? As I said, hadith came, an event occurred, and then he said that. So they use this hadith as an evidence against Abu Bakr. We say, oh Shia, tell us when did this hadith occur? This hadith occurred, and they will agree with us, when Sayyidina Ali wanted to marry the daughter of Abu Jahl. So he married Fatima, and he wanted to marry the daughter of Abu Jahl. And then Fatima became like any woman, very upset, and she claimed to cry to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he said, you don't get upset for your daughters. My husband, your cousin, wants to marry Abu Jahl's daughter. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, I can't tell him it's haram, it's halal, he can marry her if he wants. But then he made the speech. Fatima is from me. If you upset her, you're going to upset me. The daughter of the Rasul of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will not be in the same house as the daughter of the enemy of Allah. So this hadith was to Sayyidina Ali. This hadith was to Sayyidina Ali. You were saying, and we don't say that Sayyidina Ali did nothing wrong. He wanted to do what was halal for him. And when Nabi said this, he said, no, khalas, I won't go through with the marriage. And throughout his life, he only married Fatima. Only when she passed away, he married a second wife. More wives than this. So if anyone falls in this hadith, Sayyidina Ali is really, there were many instances where husband and wife fought. Nabi Sallallahu found Sayyidina Ali in the masjid lying there. Why are you in the masjid? Oh, we had a fight with Fatima. Nabi Sallam, come get up. Don't worry about it. It's no more husband and wife. So this is the context of these hadith. Look at where they come from. Lastly, if we quickly rush through these things, we say, is there any evidence why the Sahaba chose Abu Bakr to be the best candidate? We say, if we look at the Quran, then there's more evidence going to Abu Bakr than Sayyidina Ali. We love them both. When Allah says, when the second of the two in the caves, they were together, were in the cave, and he said to his Sahabi, Nabi said to his companion, La tahzan inna Allah ma'ana. Don't be afraid, Allah is with us. Allah called Sayyidina Abu Bakr the second of the two. Therefore, if the first is gone, who comes in his place? Number two comes in it. So Allah called Abu Bakr, he's the second after the Prophet ﷺ. In that ayah this is the most powerful ayah with regards to Sahaba, and the first and foremost who embraced Islam from the Muhajireen and the Ansar. So Allah's talking about who are the best, those who became Muslim first, then those who made Hijrah, then the Ansar, the people of Medina, and also those who followed them exactly. Radiallahu anhum wa radwan. I, Allah, am pleased with them, and they are pleased with Allah. And Allah has prepared for them Jannah, under which rivers flow, and they will be there forever. That is the supreme success. So Allah is saying, the best of the best are those who became Muslim first. And we know the first grown-up male to become Muslim was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. She agreed with this as well. First grown-up male. Sayyidina Ali was still a boy. And look at this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we know this when the person passes away and we make dua. This is in our case as well. And whoever, may yuti' Allah wa Rasul, then they will be in the company of those who Allah has an'ama alayhim, who Allah has bestowed His ni'mah, His grace upon them. Minan nabiyyin, of the prophets, wa siddiqeen, the siddiqs, wa shuhada, and the martyrs, wa salihin, and the righteous one. And how excellent are they of companions. So once again, we see the level of superiority. The best are the prophets. The next category is the siddiqs. Then the shuhada, the martyrs. And number four, the righteous. So the best we can be is a Siddiq, right? We can't be a Nabi. And who's As-Siddiq? Who is the leader of the Sudaqah? Abu Bakr As-Siddiq. He's the number one man in that category. Nabi Sallallahu gave him that title. Nabi Sallallahu says in his last khutbah before he passed away, he gives a khutbah 2-3 days before he passes away. He sits, he couldn't even stand. He sat in the minbar and he said, Allah has given a choice between a slave to choose this world or the year after, and he chose Allah. Abu Bakr is crying. Everyone, they think, what is this? Why is this old man crying? Everyone, it's a good choice he made. Abu Bakr understood. Nabi was talking about himself. I've chosen Allah. Only Abu Bakr cried because he understood. And then he made this, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made the speech. He said, the person who has favored me the most of all, both with his companionship and his wealth, is Abu Bakr. If I were to take a Khalil, other than Allah, I would have taken Abu Bakr as such. But only brother, Allah has taken me as his Khalil. Khalil. All the doors entering the masjid, so the houses used to enter the masjid, let all those doors be shut forever, except the door of Abu Bakr. And I have paid back everybody who did me a favor, except Abu Bakr, Allah would pay him back. This was his last speech that he made. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives a beautiful hadith. I only learned this hadith in this week. Beautiful hadith in Bukhari. He says, oh, Sahaba, I had a dream. And in that dream, I saw I was pulling buckets out of a well, and I did as much as I wanted. Then I gave over, and Abu Bakr started to pull buckets from the well. And there was some, you know, resistance. There was some, there were some problems in that pulling. Then he gave it over to Umar. And when he started pulling, the bucket became a huge, like a dam. And I've never seen anyone more of a genius in pulling, you know, water out of a well than Umar radiallahu anhu. All the people and the animals drank, and they were all satisfied. This is a beautiful analogy of what's going to happen in the future. That I was the Amir and I took as much as I wanted. Then Abu Bakr took over and there were some problems. The whole Ummah became murtad. And he had to fix the Ummah up. When he passed away, he fixed the Ummah. And Umar took over. And in his time, the expansion, Syria, Iraq, Iran, Egypt, Palestine, all came under the control. And he was the greatest Khalifa in terms of administration. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to a lady, Ya Rasulullah, She needed something. She needed money. Nabi says, come to me tomorrow. So she said, what if I don't find you? Meaning, if you died, who should I go to? She said, go to Abu Bakr. Go to Abu Bakr. So these are clear-cut evidences that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam favored Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Even though we Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we say there was nothing explicit. He didn't appoint Abu Bakr. And we said of the most explicit things which justifies his leadership is that he was made the Amir to make Salah. For 3 days, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was unable to lead the Salah. He appointed Abu Bakr. Umar one day took over. Abu Bakr wasn't there, he was out of town. And Umar took over, and Nabi Sallam heard, he said, who is that? Umar, stop, break the salah off. We don't accept anyone except Abu Bakr. Fetch Abu Bakr to lead the salah. Allahu Akbar. When he couldn't perform the Hajj, Nabi Sallam, he made an Amir. Abu Bakr, you be the Amir of Hajj. And we said things to think about. That Sayyidina Ali gave his pledge to Abu Bakr. Sayyidina Ali, when the Nabi Sallam, he had no issue, he fought in the jihad under Abu Bakr. Sayyidina Ali has sons, the name of Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman. Of his sons, after Hassan and Hussein and other sons, he had a son called Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman. Sayyidina Ali wed one of his daughters from Fatima, meaning a full sister of Hassan and Hussein, to Sayyidina Umar. Right? If this man was kafir, you can't wed your daughter to a kafir. Abu Bakr compiled the Quran. If he's a liar and a cheat, then the mushaf that you have was compiled by a liar and a cheat. Wa'iyadu billah. And we said, leave everything aside. What was he like as a Khalifa? Let's look at history. Non-Muslim history, what did the non-Muslims say? They will tell you that when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away, the Muslim Ummah crumbled. Everyone became murtad besides Medina and Mecca. And they were about to invade Medina. Islam was about to be wiped off from the face of the earth. 2.5 years later, after Abu Bakr was in charge, the Muslim Ummah had regained its strength and began the invasion of Syria and the Persian Empire. He had fixed that Ummah, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So, he did a great job for Islam. Whether you like him or not, history speaks for itself. So inshallah, we continue next week on this issue. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant the love for the Sahaba in our hearts. But we follow their footsteps as Allah says. Whoever follows the footsteps of Sahaba, they are the ones Allah is pleased with. And inshallah, we hope to meet these great Sahaba in Jannah one day. Ameen. You can email me for the slides if you'd like. And take the audio as well. We just announced that our Tuesday classes now start at 7 o'clock. So before Maghrib at 7. And we end shortly after Maghrib. Jazakallah khair. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa sallam wa sallam. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum.